All right, folks, let's call this meeting of the Locatelli-Mount River Basin Development Commission for Wednesday, May 9th, to order. Will you please set your phones to stun, and let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, roll call, please.
Thomas Lindsay.
Here.
Tom Bosetti, absent. Anthony Broaddus, absent. Derek Nimitz.
Here.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Ron Baer.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. Next up is approval of minutes from the meeting of April 11th, 2018. Corrections, modifications, motions, what say you?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the minutes from April 11th, 2018.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Be there none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, they're out there for everybody to take a look at. Chairman's report, keep in mind as those minutes and evening recordings of all of our meetings are put on the website, so you have an opportunity unique to where we live to be able to find all that stuff quasi-real time. So there's an opportunity to not only see the documentation, but also hear what happened as far as the interaction. Thanks for all coming out. It's nice to have warm weather. One of the primary reasons that we're here is to take care of a $275 million man-made flood control project. Obviously, anything that is man-made that doesn't have maintenance tends to have some issues, as might be seen in the September 2008 issues when we had floods all around the community. It's important that we do the things that we do so that doesn't happen again. Now, never lose sight of the fact that if we have 10 gallons of water for our 5-gallon bucket, we're going to have some challenges. But we're far better prepared than we are today than we were in 2008 as far as being ready for this type of stuff. This thing is continuing to evolve after the funding was approved by the General Assembly. Includes the entire watershed, not just the project parameters of the federal government. This brings in a lot of additional deferred maintenance, a lot of things that were not paid attention to for decades. Obviously, decades of neglect take a little bit of time to catch up to, prioritize, and whatnot, but we're doing the best we can. I think we are showing that we're delivering across the not only the project, but the watershed as a whole. 2017 was the first time the entire project was certified by the federal government since this thing started, which, Dan, when did this thing start? In the 80s? 83. So where were you in 1983? Additionally, what we're looking to try to accomplish is not only to take care of the flood control, but enhance the system and the waterways throughout the county to be able to make it a better place to live, which isn't that what we're all here for anyway. That said, let's keep moving along because you're not here to listen to me talk. So next up is the finance report, the approval of claims for May 2018. Gentlemen?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the claims for May of 2018 in the amount of $356,983.68.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Let's pay the bills. Mr. Repay?
I'll just go over some of the higher valued ones, and if you have any questions, I'd be open to questions. We'll start with Vail Appraisal Group. This is the group that appraised the remaining parcels that we need to acquire from the Army Corps project. There's 30 total. They've done 23 of them. The Army Corps has still some questions on the route, either whether to take a flow of easement or in-fee acquisition on those. So the next step is our attorney will then make offers for these parcels. Most of these parcels are, I think all of them are in the city of Gary, and some of which are owned by the city of Gary. This Lake Station Flood Mitigation Project, $16,998. That is the modeling of the river from Grant Street on Deep River to Portage Marina, going back on the Little Cal to Grant Street, and making sure that we can make sure that the water flows the most efficient way possible through that intersection and through that confluence. I believe they're hoping to be done here next month, and I'm sure Craig will make that happen because I know he's sitting in the audience. $28,000 for Harrison Avenue Bridge later on in the agenda. You'll be authorizing me to advertise that. That is the raising of the road so that the city of Gary will not have to have a closure structure there and also protect the folks at Glen, what's that golf course?
Gleason,
thank you. Gleason and IUN. $39,345 for the Kennedy Avenue Bridge, which will be advertised later this summer, early fall. That's the raising of the Kennedy Avenue Bridge between Hammond and Highland. Wiltshire Excavating, we're doing a lot of cleanup of old, dead, dying trees that have fallen in the river along Hart's Ditch. This is for approximately, I think it's 8 days of work. He completed his work today, and that would be, there's pictures to follow, but we haven't downloaded all of them just yet. $33,985 for USGS. That's for the installation of our stream gauges as well as the maintenance of them. I believe that's quarterly, and all of our stream gauges are now on the website, up available. We added some to Deep River, which they have never had before, so as opposed to just waiting for them or for the water to come down to the dam in Hobart, we now have a few upstream so that Hobart can know what's coming at them. $15,774.80 is reimbursement to the City of Crown Point for the Sowerville Woods project, and I believe that covers most of it. There's a very small one for $850 for Hunt's maintenance. That was our participation in the Isaac Walton League's cleanup of the river project from roughly Burr Street to Grant Street. They filled an entire dumpster full of tires. There will be two more dumpsters that will be coming for just regular debris. But this is Hunt's got theirs into us, so that's what we have.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Repay. Any questions for him on paying the bills? There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Thomas Wilkie.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Yeah, next up, Project Tracker. Are we spending any money on actually moving dirt, Dan?
I was actually going to start. You want my project or do you want the Project Tracker?
I want you to do your report and all of the Project Tracker all as one. What's happening in the field as it relates to making sure something like that is grossly under estimated? Is that the word? Doesn't happen again.
Advance the cause?
Yes.
So 35th and Chase project, the raising of that road began this week. It's at 35th and Chase.
Is that the graphic?
No, that's lateral 6. But if you want me to go there, I could.
Hey, I think this would be great. You have the mic. You could talk.
I can't get the marker to work, so it's difficult to show people on one map. I only have one map. We'll just go with 35th and Chase. So that road is now closed down. There's been some coordination with Lake County Solid Waste as well as Gary Public Transportation. That's also adjacent to another project that's ongoing right now, and you have that update project sheet in your packet, which is the in-project mitigation, which is located just to the west of Chase Street and east of Georgia. That is going to be about 70 acres of mitigation as a part of our permit and a part of our application to the Corps. It's a Corps project, and they have their folks out there doing the project management on that. So there has been no delays. There has been no change orders. There has been some issues with some wildlife in that area, and between U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the Corps and IDEM, I believe they're going to try to work that out so that they can complete the mitigation work out there. Hobart mitigation, I'll know more certainly tomorrow because there's a phone call update for the last 2 weeks, but I haven't heard of any major issues that have come up recently. They keep on progressing with what they need to do to accomplish the end result of their contract. So if something changes, I'll let you know tomorrow. But as of right now, I have no major issues, unless, Derek, you know of anything that's major?
No, there's no major issues.
So Hobart Railroad Bridge, we have on the agenda tonight. We've advertised that to be completed. We've had a total of 15 contractors that were given the plans. 8 contractors showed up to the mandatory pre-bid meeting, and we have one contractor that has bid. It's pretty busy out there, and this is a specialized project. So eventually, during the agenda, we're going to have to open that and see what this comes in as far as the bid. So Clark Street adjustment is going along. It's through the permitting project, which is basically increasing the grade of Clark Street, so there will be no closure at Clark Street, as well as paving the road. Chase Street pedestrian bridge is the link between the north and south levee in Gary at Chase Street. Six years ago, we took out the culverts that were there that linked it. Folks have asked for us to put it back. We have been working on this now for about 6 months, and so now we have to get all the permits since we're constructing in a floodway. And so once all that gets accomplished, we will be bidding it out hopefully in June and awarding it in July. I mentioned in the claims that we're cleaning up Hart's Ditch. We have an issue with Grinder Woods, that there was some damage caused to it. It's called Grinder Woods. It's owned by Shirley Hines. We're going to correct some of the errors that were there and do some mitigation work, and we will fix it and move on with our partnership with our environmental community. We've met with some other mitigation and environmental folks about doing some other enhancements, and we have to take that under advisement and look to see what, as far as our budget is concerned, for future projects. On a positive note, we've done, all of that was positive. We've completed the inspections last week of Highland, Hamlin, and Munster. That was pump stations, gates, and levee. So far, initial reports, everything came back positive. Next month, we will be doing the Gary and the Griffith levees, which is essentially from Klein Avenue to the east to Martin Luther King. So that's in June. We have our new lawnmower contractor beginning May 17th, I believe his date was. He's going to begin mowing. So anyone that's concerned about the high grass, that should be taken care of. And then I've already spoke about the Isaac Walton Group and how well they did. As far as cleaning that area up, they do it every year. They've done it for the last 2 or 3 years now. And seemingly they keep on filling dumpsters on places that should be off access. So that's it. As far as project tracker is concerned, we have to also, above and beyond the parcels that I talked about, the 30 parcels for the acquisition for the core, we have to also acquire easements on the pump stations. There's 24 pump stations, and there's roads and property leading to those pump stations, most of which are owned by municipalities. So we're going through the title work to do and accomplish that as well. And then, as you know, we're also acquiring some properties in Lake Station in order to build the levee from basically Liverpool to 94. So a tree program that is still out there that is open and available to communities to plant in areas that are of the public, not in front of your yard. So most of those times it's going into a park, and we're fielding some applications for that as well. And then certainly we have those applications for the watershed that are later on in our agenda that haven't been acted upon, but we have there so that you're aware of the dollar amounts that are potentially available. And that is it, unless you have any questions.
Right. Back to the board. Questions for Mr. Repay. What's going on?
So, Mr. Repay, on line item 1, Columbia Avenue Detention, HSD, I was actually in that area this past Saturday, and I saw a board up that sort of had a display. I noticed we've encumbered here for that, and but we have not made a payment to them for engineering as of yet.
Correct.
What's the timeline on that?
They just haven't drawn down on it.
Okay.
So it's really up to them. I think... Right now, they're still in the acquisition mode. That area is off 175th and Columbia.
Right.
So I think they're still in some acquisition mode before they can design anything and the engineering of it. So I'm just guessing that they're waiting for the acquisition to be complete before they put out a contract to design it. I think they have, in theory, or a conceptual thought of what they want to look at, but I don't think they've hired an engineer. And if they have, they certainly haven't drawn down on any of our dollars.
Okay.
And the same holds true for Hermit's Lake as well.
Okay, yeah, I noticed that was zero as well. That's it for me, Mr. Chair.
Okay, anybody else any questions with Mr. Repay? What's going on? All right, what are the new ones coming up, Dan? Because I'm not letting you off the hook. What's coming up here as far as we're in the middle of construction season?
Well, the new ones right now is...
The beginning.
Well, it was a late beginning because of the way spring was, but the railroad is going to be... The railroad crossing is the largest one that we will face.
In Hobart.
We have 35th and Chase, we have Harrison, and then the pedestrian bridge is a smaller version of that. Are the projects that we're doing this year that are sort of under our control. Acquisitions, as you see, has consumed some dollars and some time, some of which are a part of the project, which are the 30 parcels, and some of them are outside of our project, but we believe that are necessary to protect some residents that are vulnerable. So that's what our forecast is now. We're trying to get all the projects out so that they're done, constructed, and then looking forward even further, you're going to see probably a design of the levee later this summer or fall, and then you've got 2019, you would, in theory, have the first phase of Kennedy Avenue bridge construction and a potential start of a levee in Lake Station in 19. As far as what we're doing, notwithstanding any applications we get from any other community.
Dan, the Lake Station levee project, if you had to throw a number on it, DART, how many homes would be protected by that levee that could impact?
I thought you were going to give me the
homes. No, I wouldn't do that.
I would have no guess right now. There are 220 parcels, homes, that it's going to protect. That's not including, my understanding, the vacant parcels that have gone away, that have been demolished or whatever. So we have to acquire, it's 24 total parcels in that area, and that will protect the 220 homes that in February, I know you were out there,
yeah,
that flooded. And a lot of them flooded, not all 220, but a lot of them did. And so that's what we're going at as far as what the rate is, as far as protection.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, moving right along. Other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to open bids for the CFER bridge on milepost 434.97, the replacement project, to award the lowest and most responsive bidder, pending review by engineer and staff, but also pending review by the engineer's estimate as well.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, you're opening up a package, so, okay.
Go ahead.
All right, so that gives him the right to open up that bid, and we'll go on to the next one.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve an agreement with Patrick Engineering to provide construction engineering services for the CFER Bridge 434.97 replacement project in an amount not to exceed $339,810.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, this is two in a row for a bridge.
They're all interrelated. I mean, this is the bridge itself, and I'm going to get to the price when I can find it. And then Patrick is who designed it, so they would be the one, logically, that would be the one to make sure that they're constructing it to the way. I mean, there was a lot of coordination between the railroad and a lot of permitting agencies and Patrick to get this accomplished. So it's not just a standard road race here.
Were you able to post the video of what that bridge did in February as it relates to holding back all that water in Deep River coming out of Hobart?
I believe there should be a video online, and I believe Commissioner Ware was out there showing it as well. I think we all got a copy of that.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we posted it on online as well. So check our website under the videos, and we will...
if you get a chance to look at this, this is big stuff. All right, so... All right, we have any other questions with regards to the motion and second discussion? Either or not, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Schulke.
Yes.
Derek Minnick.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Lavon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes.
Mr. Chair.
Also, I need to do...
Joey, we didn't vote, I don't think, on the opening of the bids.
Yeah, let's vote on the bids.
Vote on opening. Approving the opening.
Tom Schulke?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Lavon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. I should say no, just for just to be contrarian. All right, so are you talking on that opening of the bid?
I could now. I see that final price.
Okay.
The total bid price is 4.481271.20. That's 4,481,271.20 is what I can determine from the bid tabulation sheet.
Wow.
So that's a little bit north of, without getting specific, the engineer's estimate. So we'll, what we'll do is we'll work over with the engineers and see what they want to do or what there's a issue.
Got it. All right, so we did that motion. We did the agreement for the engineering. Next up.
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion to approve a construction and maintenance agreement with the Chicago, Fort Wayne, and Eastern Railroad for the CFER Bridge 434.97 replacement project.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, discussion. Back to you. Just have that thing open.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to do both here. In essence, what this is once it is complete, if we accept this bid, that at the end we turn it over to them to maintain from here on forward. They'll be watching.
Because it's the railroad.
It is the railroad. They don't want us maintaining it, which is
perfectly
fine. So that's what this is.
So these are all contingent upon the work happening initially.
Correct. So it won't happen, and we won't execute it until we sign an agreement and going forward. And he feels comfortable with the wording.
Understood. Any other questions with regards to this one? There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Schulke.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Lavon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Big one. All right. Moving right along.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve an agreement with the Applied Ecological Services for the Rainier Nature Preserve Restoration Project in an amount not to exceed $149,934.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
Yeah, I wish I could get my marker to work, but it won't.
Well, you know, this is old technology.
I know. Sorry. We had five people working on it at one time. So what happened here is that we were doing some clearing, and if you look on that screen, it's going to be that green line that runs diagonal and then clears to the right. And as where you see 41st Avenue, which is just below the cemetery, we were doing some clearing work.
Let us know where we are, just to help everybody.
It's hard. I guess I need an assistant.
This is I-65 east of I-65.
The tail end of this green line is Liverpool. So if she's going to point to Liverpool. This is a vacated road because that road does not run through the cemetery. I-65 is over here on the far left of your screen, very far left,
yep.
And it runs, this lateral 6 runs actually underneath I-65, goes to Bailey School, goes underground, runs to 61st, runs to Merrillville, ultimately ends up in Turkey Creek, which ends up in Deep River. So it's a very circuitous fashion of where this what? That's double points there for Scrabble.
Yeah, that's right. So, did you learn that at Muncie?
I did.
All right.
At Ball State. So what happened was we were working along that green line, because it's easy for everyone to see, as we were heading to the east. There was an old farmer's ditch that wasn't a part of the regulated drain that the contractor had opened up, drained land not owned by us, which was owned by Shirley Hines. And what, in essence, this contractor will do is to fix what was taken out. And we have to plan it, we have to monitor it, and we can move on, because a bunch of fund agencies that regulate this type of stuff weren't happy with what happened. So we're going to fix that. That's what AES is proposing to do.
Got it. Any questions for Mr. Repay on this motion in a second? Either or none, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Schlinsky.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Ron Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the Executive Director to advertise for bids on the Harrison Street Bridge replacement projects.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Repay, it's pretty straightforward.
Oh, I didn't know if you want audio visual, but...
Oh.
You want it?
Sure.
So, I hope I can get it in at least due time. I can figure out where I'm at right now.
So this has all the engineering done and everything's ready to go. All we just need is to find a good construction company that's capable of doing the actual work?
Well, yeah, I see. NDOT has got the easement, and they also have the ability to, I'm trying to get to the right intersection here. I was right where I needed to be. I was going to go up here a little bit. Yeah, and I'm looking for, there I am. I got to go over there. I am. Here I am. So, I'm going to need your assistant. I'm sorry. Without a marker, I'm in trouble. This area here is the Little Cayman River as it runs underneath I-65. What NDOT wants to do is redo this area here, which is a culvert that runs underneath I-65. They need to reline it. We own the property on the east side. They're going to access off of Colorado, which is otherwise known as Dakota Street as well, but they need to access it so they can reline it. That's what we're allowing them to do for no charge.
Easy breezy. Any questions for this one?
I'm going to get the marker to work next time.
Oh, sure you are. Okay, Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Schlinsky.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Richter.
Yes.
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2018-02, authorizing the Chairman and or the Executive Director to execute a donation agreement and temporary highway easement grant required by NDOT for their public highway improvement project known as I-65 and Little Cayman River.
So motion, and is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, that was a lot of stuff. What's happening there?
Well, I just did that one previous. I screwed up. I should have done Harrison. I was ahead of myself. I didn't see that one, but if you want me to take Harrison, I will.
Okay.
You want me to go do that really quick? Harrison Street's between Gleason Golf Course and IUA.
Okay. So what you just explained to everybody so eloquently was...
I did I-65.
I-65 in the Locale project.
I have a head injury.
Yes, I understand that. So, okay. So, well, we can go back and you could show the pictures of the one we voted on, because that was a bigger project.
You lost your double points.
I did. Circuitous just went out the window.
That was it. That was your whole game, and that was over, right?
I know.
So Harrison is over by
Gilroy Stadium.
All right. You know what? All right. So we're done with Dan trying to do tech.
Wait a minute. Stop.
Should be able to find it now.
We got it. We're going to get there eventually. It will all work out.
You can sit down and do it right now.
I am proving to you that I can do it. See, I found it. Look. So you, if I'll use this as easy. Watch this. You have the football stadium, which is Old Gilroy. Going north of that is the baseball field, which is Gleason. And then Harrison runs just to the right of it. We're going to raise this road where you see the blue, where you see the blue little stripe go through it. Right now, see the bridge? We're going to raise that bridge. So right now, Gary has to close that at one of the earliest stages. What that does is, let's see if I can be really cool, is it exposes IUN. Never mind. It exposes IUN. IUN is located just to the south. I'm glad you appreciate this, Bill. And so this is one of the early closures, and we're going to get rid of it, and it'll be constructed this year. End of story. I've lost all my points from Scrabble. So.
Yes, you did. Okay, so we're moving right along. So we got a motion and a second to do the I-65 locale deal. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Clancy.
Yes.
Derek Emmett.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LeVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, we've got some pending watershed applications. First one being Munster, Town of Munster, Heart Ditch Stabilization Bank at Camellia, Town of Munster, Heart Ditch Bank Stabilization, and then the Maribel Stormwater Utility, Meadowdale Lateral Floodwater Storage Basin. I'm going to make a motion we defer those to the June meeting.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Clancy.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LeVon.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right. My favorite part, statements to the board from the floor to help us make sure something like that doesn't happen again, please. If you're interested in speaking, please come up to the podium. Turn the microphone on, state your name and address, and please help. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Eric Sprenna, Highland resident and member of Northwest Indiana Paddling Association. I just wanted to let you guys know we're going to try again this year to do a trip down the west branch of the Little Cow. The difference this year is we don't have a livery to rent boats, but I have asked our board of directors to reserve some of our club boats for any and all public officials who wish to come and join us and gain first-hand experience of what it's like to float down the west branch of the Little Cow. So I hereby extend a personal invitation to each and every one of you to come and join us and paddle 6.5 miles from Kennedy to Grant Street. Hopefully, Mother Nature will cooperate and provide good water levels. Right now, we're seeing with the ever-increasing amount of silt coming down Heart Ditch, the silt deposition place now is to the east of Kennedy. And in very low water conditions, there's a short section just east of Kennedy where you got to get out and walk your boat. So if you do come and join us, please wear footwear that can get wet. I will go ahead and send information to Dan and Jody, and they can pass it on to you guys. We would love to see you. My phone number's in there. Give me a call and come paddle the river with us.
When's the date?
The date is Sunday, May 20th.
May 20th.
That's a week from this coming Sunday.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Scott Holdison. I'm a Highland resident. Looking at the pictures from the flooding event, I remember well when a large portion of Highland flooded. You guys are doing some really important work, and we really appreciate it. But what I'd like to point out is, or ask you about, is what's the status of the Maya Energy development that was talked about at the last meeting? I'd like to know, is that being shelved? Because I think it's really bad idea to locate something, paving over part of a flood zone or a the part of the land that's supposed to be taking up the flood, and also the location of it right across the street from a school. It seems like there's a whole lot better places in Lake County that that place could be, that could be utilized for business like that, other than our public lands.
Nothing's changed on that, has it, Dan? No, as far as my understanding, it's still waiting for a permit coming out of the state of Indiana.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Barry Halgrimson. I live at 212 Sunset here in Munster. I stand in opposition to the Maya Energy Project as well. I wanted to make sure the public was aware of the fact that there's a big IDEM meeting tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at the Union Hall. I'm sorry I don't have the address, but they're obviously in charge of the permitting of the ultimate project, and so it's an important one for the public to show up and voice their opinion, positive or negative. I'd also like to bring to the attention, I represent a group called 350.org, which is a national environmental group, and there is a local chapter. On Saturday, we're going to be walking what we call Walk the Line, and I'd like the public to be aware of this as well so they can walk with us and learn from the various people, the experts that will be walking along with us. We're going to trace the pipeline, the Enbridge pipeline that brings a lot of the tar sands into the BP plant. Last year, we walked from the Enbridge tank farm up to a park just across the highway in Hammond. This year, we're going to meet at 8 o'clock this Saturday morning, and we will leave from Purdue Northwest, the parking lot there on 173rd. And we'll walk the 4.5+ miles along the pipeline route and then up past the Superfund site and the DuPont site, and we'll end up at Todd Park. A nice meal will be served with entertainment and speakers at 11:30. And then at 12:30, we're going to be welcoming a semi-truck full of bottled water that we'll be distributing to the neighbors up in the Calumet District of East Chicago. Obviously, they've been hard hit, so we want to try and do that for them. The website where people can register and donate money toward the water would be walktheline.nwi.com. So I thank you for the opportunity, and again, I'm hoping that sanity prevails on the Maya Energy Project.
Thank Question, you. Sir. What Union Hall?
10-14.
10-14, okay.
10-14.
Thank you.
Right there on 15th and...
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir. My name is Doug Stewart. I'm with Dunham Bay Construction. We have offices in Hammond and Columbia Heights, Illinois. We're a bridge contractor. We have an unlimited rating in Indiana and Illinois. We attended the pre-bid meeting on the Hobart Railroad Bridge. We had a vice president, a project manager, and estimator all there, ready to go to town, the job we wanted. We didn't bid the job. There's a paragraph in the bid documents that's overly restrictive. I don't know who came up with it, but it would have been a small job for us. We do, we've done a lot of bridge work and for railroads and over rivers and all that. We've got 3 temporary trestles in our yard in Hammond. We'll do this all the time. But because of that one paragraph, we couldn't bid the job. I think that's why you got one bid on it.
Yeah.
It's not the market. There's a lot of guys in the office. I talked to other bridge contractors. It's, I don't know who came up with this paragraph, but the way it was written initially, it had 3 jobs going now, 2-phase railroad bridges over water. I mean, we've done them, but we don't have 3 current jobs going. Why they didn't use the NDOT qualification or the pre-qual, I don't know. So it's, that's how you get one bid out of this deal. So if we're interested in the job, we'd like to bid it with the documents so that we can't bid.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Mike Wilkin, 5919 West 35th Avenue, Gary. I live on 35th Avenue in the middle of the block, and there used to be drainage ditches all over, and my property, I live in the middle of the block, people on the east and west have built up, my property's built up a little bit, and now the water running down Bridge Road, you know, floods my property and stays flooded a good part of the spring, the neighbor's property floods. And 35th Avenue in front of my house is the lowest spot, so it floods, and the city of Gary seemed to want to blame me for the water. When 35th meets Colfax, there was a culvert under there. It collapsed when Gary redid the road. They just covered up the culvert. And the drainage issues used to be along Colfax and Calhoun.
Bring up a stand.
Are not being filled up because the water can't get to it. And so Gary hasn't done anything about it. We're trying to figure out the residents there in that, on that block, and a few blocks here are trying to figure out what we can do to get the ditches back in there so our properties can dry out. So we're at a standstill. We need to know what to do. The people on the Calumet side of 35th, on the Calumet River side of 35th, and I'm on the Ridge Road side of 35th, as the water comes down, their property is higher, so it makes like a land dam. And at one time, it appears that, you know, there's some ditches, and they stop and go and stop and go. So we would like to figure out what it would take to get the ditches back there so the water would flow. And the mosquitoes are terrible because it's basically a swamp in the back of my property. So we're lost what we should do.
Okay.
Is that county property?
Is it county property?
Is that, I'm talking, are you in the county or are you in the city of Gary?
We used to be Calumet Township and Gary annexed us, and we're Gary property.
Okay.
So since Gary annexed us, we can't get anything done. So we're trying to find out what's our next step. Who do we need to address? Who do we need to talk to?
Okay. Well, let us take a look at that. Obviously, this is the first that we're hearing about it. And then we'll see.
This is Calhoun.
Between Calhoun and Colfax.
So here's Colfax. What's your address?
5919 West 35th Avenue.
So there, that's him, right there.
Right there. And where's the collapsed culvert?
I'm sorry?
Where's the culvert at?
You said there's a collapsed culvert that...
It's right here, probably.
Yeah, that used to be. And there's remnants of drainage that just go there, but they stop at the trailer park here. They don't keep going.
This would ultimately lead into our Burr South pump station. There's a there's a ditch. Let's go. Here it is. Here's the ditch that ultimately leads heading east into our pump station, if I don't lose it here, which is right there. Our pump station is right there. So he's talking about is it's clogged or broken, the culvert, I think we talked.
This is street drainage.
Right.
But they did a street. They did a street and evidently either it collapsed because it was probably an old aluminum culvert and then it can't get across. So what it probably does is goes across the road or over the road once it gets too high and probably ends up in the low point, which is your probably house.
Right.
And it floods him until it gets, can it get over someplace else?
But along 35th, there's no way for the water that's landlocked in the middle of 35th to get even over there. But all those drainage ditches were, there's remnants all that time that there were ditches to get the water flowing away from the properties, and they have not been maintained. And a neighbor said he would dig him, but the city said he can't do it, so.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello again. My name's Barbara Whitaker, 1921 Alta Vista, Munster. I live along Hard Ditch, the levee there. And according to the minutes, it said that you will ask Mr. Rochford to put his comments and answers to the questions in writing. Was that done? I don't know.
He was at training down in Huntsville, Alabama, so he wasn't able to, but I talked to him about it this afternoon. He will do it.
And the question is, it seems that the levee wall is higher on the Wicker Park side.
Right. He's aware of that, and I think he answered it when he was here about the levee wall, earthen levee on Wicker Park being lower than the wall itself on Hawthorne. And he gave an explanation, and I asked him to put it in writing so that we have it for the record. We have what he said on the audio, but he is going to put it in writing.
Okay, that's the earthen wall. What about the concrete walls?
Yeah, that's higher than the earthen levee. So there's two sides. Hawthorne is the concrete side or the sheet pile wall. That's higher than the Wicker Park side, which is the earthen levee side. Or Wicker Park has half and half. They have a wall and then they also have an earthen levee.
Okay, I'm talking only about the concrete sides on Wicker as and compared to the concrete side directly across from it on Hawthorne.
He's taken the whole segment. We have elevations for the both sides. Our consultant shot the elevations on both sides. He's aware of that section. Both sides will be discussed.
Okay. And because, and I noticed all the discussions here and money spent and everything on road closures, and while that's important, it's not, it would be a temporary kind of an inconvenience as opposed to having this whole neighborhood flooded again like
well,
it did.
Well, I would tell you this, though. It would be similar to what you'd be familiar with, and that's Northcott. What we're talking about, road closures, those are all gaps in the system. So if we don't close Northcott, what happens? It's a hole.
I'm not saying close.
No, anything. I'm just saying that's why we're doing those roads. We're not doing roads just because we want to pave them.
No,
I
know.
We're doing them to raise them so that it protects both property and residents on the sides of the levee.
On Hawthorne? There?
Well, throughout.
Park Estates? Well,
throughout. You're talking about the projects that we've already talked about, which is Harrison and
Kennedy.
And Kennedy. All of those are raising the roads so that we don't have to put artificial means in there to prevent flooding.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Mr. Rochford will have
to report. I just talked to him this afternoon.
Okay.
He is familiar. And he just was at training. He didn't have a chance to do it.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, good evening. My name is Leah Fisher. I am a Munster resident. First, I want to thank you and the commission for all the work you guys have been doing to provide flood protection to all the residents in the areas that you guys service. I wanted to seek a few points of clarification, particularly along Park Fitch, as Ms. Whitaker was just speaking about. According to the graphs provided by USGS and NOAA, Hartstitch at Munster in February showed a crest of 10.81 feet. However, when I had called various sources, including the commission, we were told that the concrete flood wall along Hawthorne Drive could sustain a level of 16 feet. I think we can all agree that there was not 5 3/4 feet remaining before the water breached the wall onto Hawthorne Drive. So there seems to be a discrepancy either on the USGS gauge or that the threshold is indeed 16 feet. And I wanted to get clarification on that. I can actually...
Who said 16 feet?
I called the commission office.
Us?
Correct.
There's only two of us. I wouldn't have told you 16 feet, but I can tell you if you look down on that USGS gauge, there is a level that they put to sea level. I don't know what the datum is at this point, which is the base level of what they go for. But we know that it won't go. I don't know what it was. I think it was at 12 or 13. There was only 2.5 feet, roughly, freeboard before that was going over.
Correct.
So no, there's no one. I don't think any one of us would have said 16 feet. I will be fairly clear. We were concerned about it at that point. So I can talk to you and show you the graph. But I think it goes to Mrs. Whitaker's question as to whether how much it can sustain, how high it can go before it overflows into Wicker Park the way it's designed.
Okay.
That's the major question that we're trying to deal with right now.
Correct. And that information has not yet been presented.
Correct.
Okay, sure. I think myself, as well as other members of the neighborhood who have attended these meetings or followed the meeting minutes, we're anxiously waiting to hear, obviously, you know, that information, if it is higher. I listened to last month's meeting minutes, and the response that was given when why that was just because the preference was for it to go onto the concrete side versus the earthen wall. I'm assuming because of erosion.
That was said. I don't, but I don't think, and I think we talked about it after the meeting, that he understood the question what we're saying because he wanted to go over a concrete structure and. Wicker Park is not a concrete. There is no concrete there where the overflow is.
Sure.
The concrete is further back up Hart's Ditch.
Right.
So I think he, I'm not going to speak for him, but he's going to put it in writing as far as, and that's what I think what resulted in why we want to put it in writing so he can say it and we can correct it or make sure that we're clarified what his statement was.
Okay, sure.
But no, there, we know that the wall is higher than the levee on Wicker Park. We know that. We've done the elevations for it.
Okay, sure.
So he's familiar with that, and he's aware of that, so we're waiting for his response as to making sure that that will never reach the crest of going over on Hawthorne.
Okay, because I've heard a lot of discussion about overflows.
There are overflows built into the system.
Right, and but we also use the analogy of, and I've heard this, and I think we can all, comes on in our head, you know, 15 gallons of water in a 10-gallon bucket. However, any of us can agree that if you drill a nail hole into a 10-gallon bucket and you dump 15 gallons into it, it's going to overflow whether or not you have the nail hole there or not. So my follow-up question to that was, has there been any modeling done to show, we know that Hart's Ditch responds very rapidly, and we know that it can't sustain that level for prolonged periods of time. But has any modeling been done to show that the overflow areas can keep up with the rapid increase in height at Hawthorne Ditch?
That's what they're going to show us. They did the modeling. That's okay. What they were. That's why this whole project was designed off of their model.
Sure.
So that's what they need to prove out to make sure that if the intensity is there and it doesn't make it to that overflow, which is why we cut the channel for the high velocity channel, because what we were showing and experiencing was, if you were there initially, it was a T in the road where the water would crash into a T and have to fight either way.
Right.
So we built the high velocity channel to sort of help it get out of Hart's Ditch, because Hart's Ditch is a very flashy body of water.
Yes.
And so if we can get it out to where we have the storage, it doesn't put as much pressure on the confluence of Hart's Ditch and Little Cal.
Okay, sure. If I may ask one more question, where can we go to find out exactly where the overflow sites are?
We have them. They should be on our handbook, so they should be online for us, and you
okay.
can look at the profiles, and it will show you where the overflows or where the low spots are in the project.
Okay, and then where can we go to get the results of the measurements and modeling?
I would probably get it from the Corps. I could ask them for that model.
Okay, so I may follow up.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Young lady.
Yes, sir.
Here's a handbook here for you.
Sure.
Is that the muster book?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you've got that, and in there should be the profiles
sure.
of the thing. And if you don't have it, if anyone wants to see it, it's downloadable on our website.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'll just sit here. Good evening. My name is Sam Henderson. I'm a resident of Gary. I'm also a staff attorney for the Hoosier Environmental Council. I'm here to join my voice to the others speaking out on my energy project. I do want at the outset to say, to join with the other commenters in saying, you know, we greatly appreciate the work this commission does in keeping us all above water, as well as your commitment to transparency and your partnership with the environmental community. I think in a lot of ways this commission really sets a great example in this region. But just focusing on the bioenergy situation, I can understand probably a lot of concerns that get raised here. You may feel, you know, this isn't really in our lane. You know, we're not a zoning body. We're not an environmental regulation body. You know, so I just want to focus specifically on the question of statutory authority and just state the position that my organization and many others have on this. As you know, there's an existing license agreement from the commission to Maya Energy for this property on 35th Avenue. And of course, license agreements in general are authorized under Indiana Code 14.13.2-17, Section 17 of the authorizing statute, which authorizes license agreements and lease agreements that are in furtherance of the purposes of this chapter. And the purposes of the chapter are set forth in Section 4, but they were summarized for the Commission by the Attorney General last year as essentially being that, in essence, this land is held in public trust for the purposes of flood control. And you can certainly, you know, some people might construe that more broadly, some people might construe that more narrowly, but I think we would have to say, with that idea of what this land is for, you know, running an industrial park is not within that scope. And so that's the concern that I would place before the commission is that this agreement, whatever its merits or demerits in other respects, is is beyond what the legislature intended this body to do. That is our primary concern. These parcels were recently divided for the purposes, apparently, according to the subdivision, which I believe was recorded last year, for purposes of an industrial park. And that simply goes beyond the statutory purpose. And that's a concern on a second level here, because we're all hoping at this point the Indiana Department of Environmental Management will reject this permit, and then everybody can go home. But if it becomes necessary for the affected groups to take legal action on this, then that legal action potentially brings in not only My Energy itself, but also this commission. And I think I would submit to the commission that that would be an unfortunate necessity if public funds had to be used for that purpose. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I'm Bridget Boderfeld, and I live near the ditch. And I just want to add to that discussion. It's been a number of months since that rainfall that frightened us all. Obviously, there was concern on the part of the commission as well, since there were sandbags along the wall. That ditch runs like a rapids, and it rises very quickly. So my concern is that we can study this ad nauseum, or take a good look at it and bring some kind of remedy to it, to so that this disaster doesn't happen from that side. So I thank you for giving this your attention and resolution as soon as you can. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Thomas Frank. I'm in East Chicago with the Community Strategy Group. We're an environmental justice organization. I, too, and the Community Strategy Group supports the efforts to stop the Maya Energy Project on this property here in Gary. I want to remind this authority that you serve as the local sponsors to the water and the communities in which the waterways go through. We know that in this project that there was a delay in the public really coming to understand what this project was. Once they came to understand, there's clear outrage. The community in Gary and the surrounding neighborhood are not for this project. And we understand that their lease may be up. You have an opportunity in June to renew or not. We're asking you to deny any renewal of the lease in light of the fact that the community has expressed its outrage towards this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. My name's Terry Stiegel. I'm a Highland resident. I've come to speak tonight a little bit about the situation also. And I think, first of all, we do appreciate the work that's done here. When we had the referendum for this to pay taxes toward this commission, I thought it was a great idea, because we definitely need to be responsible in our flood control. So we appreciate that, especially what Lake Station's gone through. I know that's been devastating over there to those folks. So your primary goal from the statute, from what I see, is flood control and also recreation along the river. And those are things we all agree on with no problem. Then I think there's an issue that we need to probably, as a board, you need to be able to discuss it with your attorney, and that's a environmental justice policy that falls under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I have supplied Mr. Repay with some information on that. I'm assuming he's going to share it with the board, and you can discuss that with the attorney. These goes back to executive orders, back to Bill Clinton in 94, and it goes forward. IDEM has an environmental justice policy. NERPC has an environmental justice policy. The scope of these kind of goes in different directions, but it's something important to establish what we're trying to do with properties like this and neighborhoods like this, kind of the criteria around it, to make sure nobody gets discriminated against, It's about making sure that people in minority communities are not put at risk unfavorably for certain reasons. So like I said, I would recommend that you come up with that policy. The next thing I think I would like to say is we need to take a look at Maya Energy as far as what they're going to do with the property. And I happened to look at their application. And I looked at the sources of the waste that they were going to have, that they listed to IDEM. Their first go at this is 0.5 million in Lake County. That's the population that is in Lake County. They listed through the IDEM. They listed as another one of their sources is Chicago, Illinois. 2.9 million people as far as the population. And the Chicago metropolitan area, they listed 9.5 million people. So when you start doing the math, this is a project for Illinois if you consider who they're serving. So we're not serving our own constituency here. This also funding all these things that are happening here. Because under their first objective here, Indiana is about 4% of the population. So if you extrapolate that out, you know, they're looking at what their sources of waste are going to be, and we're basically becoming the garbage dump for Illinois. And they have their own problems, and I don't want to bring them here. Then there's also, there was a revision in their application about their sources of waste, and they revised that. They revised that to, we're still, Lake County is still 500,000 people. Chicago is still 2.9 million people. But now, as their service area, they've eliminated the Chicago metropolitan area, which was 9.5 million people. Now, I don't know how in the world, if they're going to justify this to IDEM, they're going to separate where those trucks are coming from Illinois. Unless they're going to require everything in Chicago paper at the dump site. So this is a big problem I have. So what is it really being used for? It's being used to help Illinois get rid of their garbage. This is not an Indiana project. And it's not a local project. And Gary's got issues also. They have a tremendous problem with some demolition work they need to do that they haven't been able to get the money for. And at one point they were proposing $100 million for Gary that they couldn't get passed through Congress just for demolition. So there's all these issues there, but this project is not benefiting Lake County. It's a big problem. And it's kind of going beyond the scope of what I think you gentlemen are trying to do. So, and then if you look at the second part of this where they took out the 9.5 million population from their proposal, now we're up to 15% for Indiana as far as the population density is, as far as the way where the waste is coming from. So it bumped their number up a little bit for Indiana, but still not as significant as we're still getting Illinois' garbage. So I think this is something we got to take into consideration. And this is right in their application. I didn't make these numbers up. And I think we also need to look at something like this. And we need to start looking at the moral and ethical part of it also. And we need to look at, is garbage more important than the well-being of children in a school?
Thank you.
You know, so these are things that, you know, as a community, we have to value. We have to, you know, we have to look at these things. You know, you got to dig deep down in your soul a little bit and do the right thing is what we're asking. Because this is not the right project. And what I also did, we have another problem in this area that creates a lot of toxic waste, okay? It's called a coal generation plant. The Bailey plant is shutting down on May 31st, okay? And that's 511 kilowatts, okay? The Little Cow River has property that is available. I'm assuming it's probably out of the floodplain that you'd probably like to put to some good use that's to the public interest. We're talking about public interest here. We're not talking about private interest because we all need utilities in our community. So what I've proposed to Mr. Repe is that he contact NIPSCO and we push them to start putting in solar farms, because he also explained to me that some of their property is being leased to a farmer. And going from raising crops, to having a solar farm makes a whole lot of sense because there's no pollution with that. And it's something we really need in this area because we're losing 511 kilowatts, I'm sorry, megawatts off the grid when Bailey goes down. Now, what it takes is about 5 acres of land to get 1 megawatt. So you can extrapolate that out and figure out the acreage you get. You might not get it all, but you're going to start accumulating this. And I'd like you gentlemen to also take a look at, we know our schools are all struggling, but if you look at Michigan City, those folks over there at the school system, they have implemented solar farms at their schools. So if school corporations that are struggling have found a way and a mechanism that benefits their schools, it benefits the community, and these are the things we're looking for. We're looking to be smart in Northwest Indiana, not fall into another trap that's a toxic mess. We have enough toxic messes in Northwest Indiana right now. And we have to do things to start thinking differently about what we're doing. It's just like the runoff in these places. Okay? If you go over to Sand Creek, one thing they bragged about, if you just let me finish one thing.
Okay. Sand Creek is in Porter County. Got it.
Yes, but I mean, the concept that they had over there was when they put in the drainage over there, they also planted plants that would purify the water. So these are important aspects of what we can do with concepts like this in the area here. But we just got to start thinking a little different and do the best we can to change things. So I think the lease is up, or the license agreement is up in June of 2018 for Maya. Is that correct?
Are you asking me when the lease is up? I don't know. Mr. Wicklin, when is it?
It's June, between June and September. I didn't bring it with
me. Okay. Well, I guess what I would like to say is I'd like to oppose the Maya project, and I would also like for the board to consider everything that I've said and reject any further extensions to that license agreement, because that would solve the problem also. And I thank you very much for your time, and please take my comments into consideration in your future decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Either none. Mr. Castellanos.
Oh, wow. We heard a lot tonight. But I tell you one thing. It was good to hear that from, you know, those from Northwest Indiana. They all make a lot of great comments and things like that. But to the gentleman regarding the bid process, I want you to understand, please don't give up. You know, there's the opportunities. We look forward to, we definitely want to see our local businesses participate in our bid process. So don't give up. And to the young lady who made her points regarding the Munster, that booklet that you received there, thanks to Jody here, she made a number of them for me, and I've been passing them out to the some of the directors in the city of Gary and to some of the other individuals of schools, because they want to know more about what we do and how we do it, and they're more appreciative also. Also, we also have a website that you can go to and check it out more too. So, in regards to a lot of the other things here, I just want to let the people know that we, you know, besides just meeting here, we reach out to the administrations of all the municipalities in Northwest Indiana. We recently had a meeting with the mayor, Gary, and members of her staff, and it was very positive about working together and to regarding the Calumet River program we have. But just keep in mind, our job is just to control the flood. I mean, we don't control economics. I mean, we don't control a lot of the things. Our job is to control the flood that we're doing here, and that's what we do. We're trying to keep ourselves focused. As much as I hear the conversation by all you individuals here, believe me, you know, you make a lot of great comments, and I will be at that meeting on 10/14, but I will be there as a Gary resident only, not as a representative of this particular board here. But I want to thank everybody for coming out and participating and sharing your thoughts and giving us your opinion. We really appreciate that. And I end my comment to say, I wish all the ladies here happy Mother's Day. Bless you. Thank you.
Mr. Nimitz.
Thank you all for coming out tonight. I appreciate your comments.
Mr. Ware.
Nothing at this time.
Mr. Wyszlinski.
Nothing there.
Mr. Whitaker.
Just want to, as well, thank everyone for coming out on this evening. And I think we certainly have heard a lot tonight, and want to piggyback on what Dave Castellano said in terms of the local contractors. And, you know, we're trying to do all we can to make sure that, you know, local contractors continue to participate in the process. So thanks for bringing that to our attention, not limited to just local contractors, but also minority participation as well, minority women. General areas as well, as far as being participants in the process. A couple of years ago, I think we passed something, and they like for us to make sure that we're staying on track with participation from that underrepresented population as well. In terms of the expression that some of the folks have made regarding, you know, what's from an envisioning standpoint in terms of what's best for use of land, such as the one talked about with Maya Energy. I know we need jobs, and we want to make sure that we employ more folks here in the area, but we also want to make sure, and that's one of the meetings, that's the meeting that we essentially had with the mayor of the city of Gary and some of her staff folks, which is making sure that there is a process that's actually in place, some sort of an intake process is actually in place, so that everyone who participates, you know, there's some objectivity to it, and not limited to the discussion with Meyer Energy, that you know, every municipality should have an economic development plan that sort of coincides with what it is they envision a particular area being best suited for. You know, the information from Meyer was brought, in my opinion, it's a little ambiguous. I wish that there was more information for myself personally to be able to make an informed decision. And so, and again, I don't sit in Gary's you know, economic development planning process, so I don't know what that looks like in terms of the designations for different types of business. But I think it adds a little bit more value when we are able to coincide with what the city and that municipality has in store for how they want things to unfold in their economic development plan. And then last but not least, certainly want to as well thank all you guys for coming out, and happy Mother's Day to all the ladies.
Mr. Wickler.
Nothing to add.
All right, next meeting is June 18th. Thanks for coming out, especially your opinions. Enjoy the nice weather. Motion to adjourn.
No move.
Ditto. Let's go.